Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. What a pleasure to have the great Steve Paulette each and every Saturday. I got a face for radio, but he makes me look good each and every Saturday. And in studio, representing the V Foundation, their big event is going to happen this week. Lisa Kovalakis, Dr. Glenn Bleuer, Cassandra Bleuer, my favorite real estate agent. If you need one, you know who to call. And Brooke Bleuer, a future ESPN radio host. What a great time we're having. All right, I've opened the phones, 877-710-ESPN, but I want to get into the real estate part of sports, surgery, and art and music. But let's take some calls. Jennifer, you're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Hi, Dr. Clapper. How are you?
Very good, Jennifer. Did you call before?
I sure did. I was the bowler.
Oh, I remember. Thank you for calling. By the way,
yes.
What do you do for a living again?
I'm in real estate. We work for banks.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Well, I hope your path and Cassandra Bleuer's path will cross one day because she's amazing and so are you.
You never know. Thank you.
No problem. All right. How can I help? What's up with you?
Well, I had called and told you about my knee, and I was having swelling and some pain, and you said to get an MRI, which I did.
Okay.
And to call you back with the results, and I have them.
Okay. Let's go right to the impression. Read it slowly so I can give you some clapper vision.
Okay. So just because I was a little confused, obviously, I'm not a doctor, so I don't get it, because there's an impression and then there's finding.
Right. Let's go to impression.
Okay, there's four impressions.
Great, go.
It says small horizontal longitudinal tear of the anterior horn of the lateral meniscus with extension to the tibial articular surface.
Okay, so all right, so we'll stop there. When you hear the word horizontal, because the tear in the cartilage, so here's a clapper vision. Your meniscus is like a slice of apple pie. All right, you got the crust, it's a triangle, and you have the tip. And Marie Callender's makes the best damn apple pie. I mean, I love the apple pan, but that French crumb with that, I don't know what's in that stuff. It's like heroin. I just can't stop eating that stuff. So you got the tip, you got the crust, and you got the triangle, the pie, and how it tapers. You can eat that pie with your fork, which I like to do, going north to south, Canada to Mexico, right through vertical. The meniscus can tear, like through the slice of pie with your fork. That's a vertical tear, okay? Sometimes, if you want to be elegant, if you met someone from France and they want to be more elegant, they don't go straight, wahoom, like an American does, straight down through the pie. They actually go at an angle. They're diagonal. So you can have an oblique or diagonal tear in the pie or in the meniscus. The vertical and the diagonal way of using your fork to go through the pie, your vertical or oblique tear through the meniscus is always associated with trauma. But if you took your fork and you went between the crust on the bottom and the French crumb, my mouth is watering already, the French crumb on the top, and you went through horizontally, through the apples and the cinnamon and the sugar, through the middle, that's a horizontal tear. And a horizontal tear means, Jennifer, you're 48 years old. Your grandmother got arthritis. She's old. She was allowed. But a horizontal tear means it's not from trauma. It's from altacocceritis, as we say at Cedars. You're getting old. So this is not something I want you to have anyone remove. Because even though it's not a perfect meniscus, you need the cushion. So, yes, it can cause some symptoms, but just like a blister hurts, you keep rubbing, it becomes a callus. There's lots of people I take care of that have horizontal tears that I've left alone. Sometimes that horizontal tear can allow the fluid, the motor oil, the synovial fluid that's in the joint to leak through the horizontal tear and become a meniscal cyst. That happens. And that's a different story, but they're not talking about a meniscal cyst, thank God. So number one in your impression of your MRI, in my New York opinion, forget about it. We ain't having surgery. What's number two?
mild edema and stranding within the superolateral Hoffa's fat pad.
Okay, so that's a fancy word for saying you got poked in the eye and it's a little red and swollen. Also, don't let them shoot you with cortisone, stem cells, or any cockamamie needles into your knee. Number two, we're also going to leave it alone, and I'm going to tell you what to do treatment-wise, but we'll get into that in a second. Number three.
Mild patellofemoral compartment dominant osteoarthritis.
Right, so you took too many Jane Fonda lunge classes or Zumbas and curves and all the rest of this stuff, and I need you to exercise differently. So there's a little bit of arthritis behind, too many lunges, squats, stair machines, weights, treadmill. Forget about all that. You're going to exercise differently, and I'm going to tell you how to do that once we're done. Fourth and final thing.
Small joint effusion.
So that's a little bit swollen, a little bit of redness, a little bit of inflammation also. Okay. These are changes in your knee that can cause symptoms of pain, swelling. You know, you don't have a knee that's locking on you. It's not buckling, right?
No.
It just hurts. So.
It hurts.
You need to delete, Jennifer in West Hills, you need to delete the things in your life. I'm from New York, so we hate things that I hate for you. Treadmill, lunges, squats, stair machines, weights for your legs. Here's what I love for you. The pool, the bike, the elliptical. At 48 years old, I don't want you to do any of these exercises more than a half an hour. Now you can say, but I want to keep exercising. Good. Then switch to something different. Go lift weights with your upper extremities. Go. You can take a yoga class. You can do Pilates. You can do a spinning class. You can be active. But after a half an hour, your brain and your body ignores it and you're only hurting yourself. So you can keep exercising, but switch it up. There's a book I wrote with Linda Yue called Heal Your Knees. Get a copy. You will benefit from the exercise. We give the money to the homeless.
Wonderful. Can I ask you one more question?
Of course.
So because I'm...
Veal Parmesan is the answer, by the way.
Oh,
well,
okay.
Okay, what's the question?
That sounds yummy, too.
And the best veal Parmesan I have ever had. And I've been to New York. I'm from New York. I've been to Il Vagabondo in New York. I go to Italy every summer. I'm a veal Parmesanologist, okay? I'm a knowledgeable person about veal Parmesan. The best veal Parmesan I've ever had is in Los Angeles. You know where it is? My mouth is watering already. It's at La Scala in Beverly Hills.
Dr. Clapp.
The red sauce is like from the heavens that you pour. And I always get extra red sauce with my veal Parmesan at La Scala. They bang the hell out of this patty so it's flat like a piece of tissue paper with the cheese and the red sauce in. Oh, my birthday's coming up, July 24th. I probably will be at La Scala having veal Parmesan. Good, go ahead.
And then,
by the way, what is your question?
After, right?
And my wife goes, you never answer the question. Okay, I'm answering that. What's your question?
Because I'm a bowler, and when I do my bowling approach,
yes,
it's a five-step delivery. My left knee, my left leg, is the one that I use as a pivot foot.
Got it. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to become a crazy person. It's July. The weather's hot as hell. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, half an hour, you're going to walk forwards and backwards in the pool. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, you're going to buy yourself an early birthday present, a Schwinn spinning bike, and you're going to have it in the house. Not in the gym, but in the house. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, half an hour, you're going to ride the bike. Between the pool and the bike, you then can, at 48 years old, enjoy bowling for the rest of your life. You must do the nurturing exercise to give your quadriceps, your hamstring, these big muscles above your knee, make them into better shock absorber, and your calf muscle below your knee. You strengthen the muscles above and below your knee with the pool and the bike, then all the cockamamie bending and squatting and lunging that you have to do to go bowling, you will have a better shock absorber. You will have less stress in your knee, and you won't have any pain.
Thank you, Dr. Clapper. And as you say, I will pay it forward.
Yes. Find a total stranger today. Do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me.
Will do.
Okay, young lady. Proud of you. God bless.
Thank you.
All right. It is, I guess I can do some stories. Okay. Now I'm going to talk about food. So it was July 4th. And I went to Manhattan Beach Meats, my favorite butcher shop. Tell them Dr. Clapper sent you. They get all excited when you do that. Oh, my God, the best ribeyes. Because the meat comes from the Harris Ranch, which is on the 5 on the way of driving to San Francisco. You see all this land. That's where you want to get your meat from. That's where they get their meat from. And guess what they do? They make their very own hot dogs. Who makes their own hot dogs? They do. So I went in there knowing I was going to have the barbecue. I said to my wife, we're having hot dogs. It's July 4th. But I can't just leave the hot dog alone. I got to do something. So if you've ever had a tuna fish sandwich or a cheeseburger at home, the greatest thing you can do is put Ruffles potato chips inside the tuna fish sandwich or inside the cheeseburger, which, by the way, the great Dr. Glenn Bleuer told me about the Apple Pans tuna fish, which is, in fact, the greatest tuna fish sandwich I'll ever had. I never thought to order tuna fish at the Apple Pan, but thanks to Dr. Glenn Bleuer, I actually do, and it's the greatest tuna fish. But you always want to crunchify it. So I'm saying to myself, how am I going to crunchify a hot dog from Manhattan Beach Meats for my barbecue, my July 4th barbecue? Because the hot dog with the mustard and the bun, it's longitudinal. We just talked about a horizontal meniscus tear, okay? It's a longitudinal structure. There's all geometry, Brooke Bleuer. It's all about geometry. So a hot dog is longitudinal. How am I going to crunchify a hot dog? I can't put a potato chip on it because it's potato chips are circular. They're oval. They don't crunchify a hot dog. Aha, I need to have something that's longitudinal that I can crunchify the hot dog with. And I thought long and hard, and I came up with this great idea. I'm going to buy flaming hot Cheetos. Because when you open the bag, you put them in a bowl. Many of them have a little bit of a curve to them, like the elephant tusks that I saw in Africa and Tanzania. But some of them are purely straight. I collected. It's like going through the bag of M&Ms and picking out all the yellow M&Ms. Remember when the local Yolk used to do that? They used to make this candy with white chocolate, two yellow M&Ms, and two sticks pretzels. And it looked like ham and eggs, but it was a candy. It was genius. I remember this. But anyway, you go through the bag and you find the longitudinal Flaming Hot Cheetos, and I laid them longitudinally next to the mustard on my hot dog, and I bit into it. It's the greatest hot dog experience I've ever had. So this is my food idea for today, which is to go ahead and get Flaming Hot Cheetos and put them on a hot dog. You will not think back. And speaking of that, Thursday was July 4th, so I got up super early before the sun. Got in my truck, and I drove to go surfing. Oh, my God. It was as though God knew I had taken the day off and was going to be nice to me. It was gigantic. There were a couple of waves. Get a load of this. That you paddle. You see the waves coming. The horizon's all lit up. It's like an apartment building's coming at you. And there may have been other guys in the water. There were, even though it was 5:30 in the morning. But this one wave, it was the We call it the bomb. It was the biggest one. Duke Hanamoku used to call it a bluebird, but the biggest wave. I paddle, but it jacked up and became completely vertical. But it's too late. I had already committed to doing it. The nose of my board went straight down, vertical, which is terrible because you're basically falling now. But I somehow maintained my balance and went flying down the face of it and then caught myself at the bottom in front of all my friends that I serve. It was, I don't know how, I'm Jewish. I'm incapable of having this kind of balance. But I did. And I rode this wave. It was just like for 100, like the length of a football field. And paddling back out, one guy after the other said, "Great wave, Robbie. Great wave, Robbie." It was like being at your bar mitzvah and the whole congregation just heard you read from the Torah. It was fantastic. All right, we'll take a break. I'll take your calls. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors Show here on ESPN LA 710. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Who's hey-haying over here? Who is this, Steve Paulette? Robin Thicke. Okay. I mean, I may be the only one in America who has no idea who that is. I knew who the father was, but I don't know who the son is. But this sounds fabulous. I heard something this week that is fascinating to me. Being Jewish, we don't camp. We do not use propane tanks. I wouldn't know what to do with it. If I've got a barbecue in the backyard, it has a gas line that goes to the kitchen and they made the line go in the backyard. I don't know from propane tanks. But for all those listening who have an RV, who know how to do camping and they have propane tanks, and I'll never use one in my life. I don't need it. But I heard something this week that absolutely fascinated me. And I know there's a message in this elegant principle. The guy said, how you're about to go on a trip and you need your propane tank. How do you know if it's half full, three quarters full? If it's empty, it probably weighs less so you can tell. And if it's heavy, you know it's full. But what about in the middle? Do you really need to get more propane or could you take it on the trip? Here's what the guy said, how you can tell without a gauge, because you don't have a gauge, how much propane is in the tank. He said, you go to your kitchen and you take a glass of hot water. By the way, that's W-A-T-A-H. There's no R in water. You take a hot glass of water and you pour it on top of the propane tank. So it makes the propane tank warm because it was hot water. You just poured on top. But propane, which is inside the tank, absorbs heat. So you now take your hand on top of the tank you just poured the water on and you feel, and it's hot. As soon as you get to where the tank feels cold, that's the level of the propane because the propane inside absorbs the heat. So it's cold. You know where the propane is, where the cold start part comes. Now, this is good information for all of you who are not Jewish who use propane tanks. But for the rest of us, we're not using the propane. But I just feel like here's another like cool, elegant science in action. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting. I figured I would share this with everybody. All right, let's take some calls. The number is 877-710-ESPN. Let's go to Yo Adrian in San Fernando Valley.
Hey, Dr. Clapper. So my name's Adrian. Have you been listening
to the show before, Adrian?
I do, but I'm in Oakland, so I don't get to listen to you live that often.
Okay. Well, that's great that you're in Oakland and you're listening to the show. I love this.
Yeah.
All right. What do you do for a living, Adrian?
I'm a teacher.
Oh, God bless you. What grade?
Third grade.
Third grade. What do you teach?
Just the general subjects of third grade. I'm with a group of about 20-something students all day.
Can I tell you my favorite teaching story?
Sure thing.
Her name was Ms. Monheit. She was single. And it was a little bit more than third grade. Well, I can tell you my third grade story. I had Mrs. Suss. This was like the sixth time that my mother had to leave her job as a nurse to come to the yeshiva because I'd been sent to the principal's office, this time by Mrs. Suss. So I'm in third grade. Why was I sent to the principal's and my mother had to come pick me up because I was kicked out of school for that day? Because Mrs. Suss, a terrible teacher, would drone on and on and on and on. And I just did not listen to Mrs. Suss. It was just terrible. And in the classroom was a giant map of the world, which to me was way more interesting to look at than looking forward at Mrs. Suss. So I would look at this map and probably imagine Africa and you know India and all these amazing places. And I would just stare at it. Well, eventually I'd stare so long that I put my head into my left hand as I'm sitting there looking sideways, resting my head into my left hand, just gazing at the map. The problem is the map was on the side of the wall and Mrs. Suss was in front of the class. And my Hebrew name was Reuven. So Mrs. Suss used to call on the kids in the class as she's giving the lesson and then it would come to Reuven. She'd say it once. She'd say it three times and I'm looking at the map. I'm not listening. And finally she came up to me. In those days you could hit the kids. She would like smack me and go, okay, that's it. You're going to the principal's office. You're not a student in my class anymore. And my mother had to come in. So I'm in the principal's office. My mother shows up from work with her nursing outfit on. First thing she does when she arrives at the principal office to see me there, she smacks me and goes, I got to be at work. What do I got to come here to pick you up? What did you do now, Robbie? Mrs. Suss says, I can't teach this kid anymore. He's hopeless. That's what she says. My mother now hits me again. What? Why does she have to say, what did you do? Mrs. Suss tells my mother, you know what? I'm in the front of the class. I call him. He does it. He's painting. And he puts his head in his hand, covering his left ear, and he's just looking at the map of the world the whole time and not paying attention to me. So my mother smacks me again and says, why do you have your head covering your ear looking at the map the whole time? She's talking in front. And I, smart aleck that I was, looked at Mrs. Suss and my mother, and I said, Mom, because she once said that everything she says to me goes in one ear and out the other, I figured if I cover my left ear, whatever she says will stay inside my brain. At this point, my mother smacks me again, and that was it. I was done with Mrs. Suss's class. So there you go. Anyway, Adrian, I forgot you're even on the line. I'm telling the story. Go ahead. What's up with you? What hurts?
All right, Dr. Clapper. So I've had a trigger finger on my left thumb for about a year now.
Yes.
So it just happened about a year ago. I started waking up, and my left finger would lock. And I would have to manually move it in order for it to unlock. And then for the rest of the day, I'd be fine. But it progressively got worse and worse. Went to the doctor. They offered me some exercises that didn't really help. But now they're recommending a cortisone shot. Mm-hmm. So I really haven't done anything at all with my thumb. But I just, it hasn't gotten better. It hasn't gotten worse. I don't know if it's just something I have to live with, if I should get the cortisone shot,
okay,
or
I'm going to tell you what to do. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You need a Clapper Vision. You know what Clapper Vision is, right?
Of course I do.
All right. So I want you to think of your thumb like a fishing rod, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can't just, although I was in Fiji surfing, and they literally would just throw the fishing line in the water, and they'd catch fish, which was, and they'd wrap it around a water bottle, which is unbelievable. But you need the mechanical advantage of the stiff bamboo or fiberglass pole to help you get the fish out of the ocean or the lake or wherever you're fishing. The resistance for the fish to bend the rod, right? You need that. But you mechanically need an advantage of the fishing line to be as close to the stiffness of the rod as possible. So what does a fishing rod have? It has these little loops. There's like six of them going up the rod that keep the fishing line close to the rod so that the rod can bend to get the fish to come out of the water, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to, Clapper Vision, the bones of your hand and your finger and your thumb, the bones, is the stiff fishing rod, the rod itself, the bamboo or the fiberglass. The fishing line is your tendon. Okay, so it's just like the fishing line, and just like the fishing line needs to be right up against the pole, you want the tendon so that you can hold a hammer, so you can have strength in your hand to hold a steering wheel. You want the fishing line or the tendon to be right next to the bone itself with these loops, just like the fishing rod has, and they're called pulleys. So you have pulleys that keep the tendon right up against the inside and outside of the bone. Well, imagine if I made the fishing line swell up so it was so thick that it was too thick to glide through those loops, right? Or what if I made the loops swell up that they were so narrow now that the fishing line squeaked? It could barely get through the loops themselves. That is what a trigger finger is. That there's so much swelling in the tendon or in the pulley that it doesn't glide like it used to. It gets stuck, just like the fishing line got too fat for the loop itself. That's a Clapper Vision of what a trigger finger is. So think about it. If you can decrease the swelling of the fishing line or decrease the swelling of the pulley or the loop, then it will glide beautifully, right?
Yeah.
That's what a cortisone shot will do. And I hate cortisone, but if ever there was a time to do one, not two or three, because you could rupture the tendon with more cortisone shots. You got to be careful. But if you have a hand surgeon, someone who really knows what they're doing, putting it exactly in the right spot between the pulley and the tendon itself, you might avoid surgery. And the surgery, by the way, is local anesthesia, takes 10, 15 minutes, it's not a big deal. You just got to be worried about the nerve. The surgeon has to be really careful to protect the digital nerve, because if it's so close to where the pulley is, you can rupture, you can cut it by accident. But to avoid surgery altogether, this, I'm telling you, Adrian, in Oakland, thanks for calling in. This would be the one and only time, and I think it's appropriate to try it for. If it doesn't work, you can then have surgery. But I'm giving you a green light to let them give you a shot done by a hand surgeon for your thumb. Okay?
Awesome. Appreciate it, Dr. Clapper. Thank you.
All right. Keep teaching those kids. You're doing a great thing for our society, and we all appreciate you, Adrian.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. God bless you. All right, Warriors, we'll take a break. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors Show here on ESPN LA 710. Great choice, Steve Paulette. Welcome back to the Weekend Warriors Show. This is Nile Rodgers. Chic, Le Freak. We are freaking out because Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are coming to the Clippers. And as an orthopedic surgeon, by the way, the number is 877-710-ESPN. As an orthopedic surgeon, think about how fascinating this is going to be for me, because I've got Paul George, who crashed into the basketball stanchion and snapped his tibia and had it rotted, and now he's back to being an MVP All-Star capable guy. I get to talk about tibias and fractures and rotting and titanium rods. And Kawhi Leonard's now going to be in Los Angeles. And Kawhi Leonard had a calcification of his contusion in his quadriceps muscle. What a fascinating injury this is going to be to talk about his return to MVP, bringing a championship to Toronto, and now trying to compete with the Lakers. So from an orthopedic standpoint, these injuries are fascinating, and it'll just be more for us to talk about on the Weekend Warriors Show. It's all about the injuries. But you got to give your hats off to Jerry West. You know, they all talk about anti-aging. This is the one show you're going to listen to that is pro-aging. I love getting older, and I want you all to get older.
Dr. Clapper.
That's right, Kobe. To stay healthy and get older, because to recognize that this is Jerry West, a man in his 80s, forget about the greatest of all time, the GOAT as an executive, the logo of the NBA, an amazing player. But you also have to give props when someone can be in their 80s and still be so good at their chosen field that the ones who think they're great consultants, GMs, executives in basketball, can you imagine him looking at Kawhi Leonard and saying, okay, Kawhi, what's it going to take to get you here? At this level, it's nothing about the money. You know you can get the maximum. You don't need, our dollars are the same dollars in Canada as it is here. What is it? And you can just imagine that conversation. Kawhi Leonard said, I want to play with Paul George. And Jerry West said, done. Just like you, Cassandra Bluer, my favorite real estate agent. I need to get this house. What's it going to take? They're going to get the same money from someone else. You know what you once coached me to do, Cassandra Bluer? You once told me, I'm going to write a letter because you have a wife and a young kid. And the people selling this house, they've got a wife and a young kid, and they can relate to you. You wrote them a letter. Who would think of doing something like that? You're the Jerry West of real estate in the sense that you can do things that other people don't necessarily want to do. Can you imagine calling the Oklahoma City Thunder? They got Russell Westbrook. Great. They don't have a ring. The only way he's getting a ring is with Paul George. Call them up and say, we want to take the reason you're going to get a ring with Russell Westbrook. We're going to want that player. How does that conversation go down? Because Jerry West. And we, again, you have to go back to Dr. Buss. Dr. Buss could see the talent. Let me remind you, do you know why he's Dr. Buss? He didn't go to medical school like I do, Dr. Clapper, MD, or Dr. Glenn Bluer, DDS, a dentist. No, Dr. Buss has a PhD in chemistry. So you say to yourself, what does chemistry have to do with basketball? Everything. Why is it everything? This show that you listen to every Saturday for 2 hours is my passion for art, for sports, and for medicine. Look at how I combine, like a Renaissance man, combining all these worlds. Let me tell you something. You all know what H2O is, right? H2O is water. That's W-A-T-A-H. No, there's no R in water. Makes up the ocean that I go surfing in every week. H2O is how you make water. Two hydrogens and an oxygen. Do you know what happens when you have only one hydrogen and one oxygen? You get peroxide. Peroxide is not water. You've used peroxide. You cut yourself. You put peroxide on. It's better than alcohol, actually, to put on it. Or on the docks, if you cut yourself with a rusty nail, my father said you had a pee on your hand. That's the sterile water to clear. But that's a whole nother story. But hydrogen and one oxygen, one hydrogen and one is peroxide. You need two hydrogens to bond with oxygen to make water. Dr. Buss, being a PhD in chemistry, understood bonding. He understood at the basic of levels how atoms and molecules have to come together with electrical charges to bond. That's why he knew that Jerry West was not only a great basketball player, but he picked him to be his executive because Dr. Buss appreciated bonding. He knew how a coach, Phil Jackson, Pat Riley, he knew how a coach, how an executive, Jerry West, could bring a Kobe Bryant and a Shaquille O'Neal and a Pau Gasol. And he built these teams. He has the it factor that allows him to do things that other people can't do. And I give credit to a man who understood bonding. So as much as this is a Laker versus a Clipper thing, I actually don't see it that way. The guy making all the moves to the Clippers is the greatest Laker, Jerry West. So it all becomes, it's like a scrimmage. It's kind of like the Lakers are playing their G League team, the Clippers, but they're both wearing Laker uniforms. You could call them the Clippers, and yeah, we love Steve Ballmer, he's great, and Doc Rivers. To me, you got two Laker teams, basically, in Staples Center. Thanks to the guy who built the dynasties for us, Jerry West, only he's now with the Clippers. And orthopedically, we are the center of the universe. Klay Thompson tears his ACL. He came to Los Angeles to have his surgery. You think basketball the center? Well, sports surgery, Los Angeles is the center of the universe. I can't think of a great 8.5 years I've been at this station with the great Amanda Brown and Scott McCarthy. By the way, Amanda Brown should be given full credit for Clapper Vision, because if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be calling into Max and Marcellus to explain all these injuries. And that's where it really all started. But from an orthopedic standpoint, this is the center of the universe. From a basketball standpoint, this is the center of the universe. So it's just great that you can join me each and every Saturday here on ESPN LA 710. I'm going to take a break. We'll pay some bills. Coming up next, I'm going to tell you what we're going to be doing next week. And I also want to talk to you about what I did in surgery this week. What a fascinating operation I did on someone having what's known as avascular necrosis. A means without, vascular blood supply, necrosis means it died. The bone died because of lack of circulation from taking a medication that many of you know about. And I got to warn you about it. I'll explain coming up next on the Weekend Warriors Show here on ESPN LA 710.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Start your weekend off right. Listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
Google the Guggenheim.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Does it get any better than this? Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. You got Kobe Bryant saying, listen to Dr. Clapper, K-L-A-P-P-A-H. Listening to Good Times Music, written by Nile Rodgers. It's just, I'm quelling. It's a Yiddish word for purring like a cat. And as a Laker fan, I am over the moon because let the games begin. Next week, I've got a guy calling in from Australia because the NFL and the NBA, remember Matthew Dellavedova? Well, he's from Australia. I think that Luke Longley also was from Australia, who played for the Bulls. But all these rugby players are discovering that they could kick, and they're coming to the NFL. My guest next week is going to talk about the Australian invasion to our sports. What fascinates me is, if you play rugby, why do you think you can play football? So the whole idea of being good at one thing and cross-fertilizing to another kind of endeavor. Where do you see that in art, in sports, in surgery? We're going to talk about that next week. Do we have Alan Sliwa, Steve Paulette? All right. There's nobody here that I'd like to talk to more right now than the great Alan Sliwa. Alan, you there?
Sir, I'm right here, Dr. Clapper.
Oh, I could. Well, you're the first person I want to talk to. We all want to hear what you have to say.
Oh, man. What a shocker. I think everyone's sitting in complete shock right now, trying to figure out what the heck just happened in these last 8-9 hours or so.
So as a crazy Laker fan, which I fully admit I am, maybe there's like a AA meeting for Laker fans. I don't know what it is, and you're
I'll
in charge of that.
I'll attend with you.
Exactly right.
I'll attend with you.
We're all, somehow, I cannot not give the credit to the greatest deal maker of all time, who's the greatest Laker of all time, but the great Jerry West, who's working down the hall right now. Even though it happens for the Clippers, to me, this is a Laker move. How do you see it?
Look, if we're going to give credit where credit's due, no question about it. Jerry West, fingerprints all over this, a consultant now for the Clippers. He'll be going into his third year. It's not a coincidence, Dr. Clapper. Wherever he goes, those teams find a way to compete for NBA championships or win multiple NBA championships. And to see what the Clippers just pulled off, especially the way it went down, and the Lakers at one point thought, and I know a lot of Laker fans thought this, including myself, oh my gosh, are we going to get Kawhi Leonard? And then to, you know, before I went to bed yesterday, obviously I'm just checking Twitter, to see how it all went down, the timing of it, everything that played with it. Jerry West is the greatest. Jerry West, it's not even close, the greatest executive of all time. And, you know, when we compare, we talk about Michael Jordan as a player, and there's nobody really in a close second. That's what Jerry West is when it comes to executives.
So remember how everyone, especially Magic Johnson, were so upset because Magic Johnson told the young ones that used to be on the Lakers, grow up, be professionals. You could be traded at any minute, get used to it, and they were all, their feelings were hurt, and they blamed the slump on that and all the rest of it. In reality, Magic Johnson only spoke the truth. He's right. But the young players didn't want to hear that. Somehow, Jerry West can do the same thing, and everybody is up for negotiation, up for being traded, including Blake Griffin and all that. But yet they play their hearts out for him. This is a gift of being psychologically. I think Jimmy Johnson had this same kind of gift for the Dallas Cowboys, that the player will run through a brick wall for them, even though it's a profession and at any moment you could be traded. That's his skill set that I think no one else has.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. I mean, listen, Magic, you can say when he was playing, I know, Dr. Clapper, you were as glued to that Magic era, and I came really just after that era is when I started watching Lakers basketball. What he was able to do on the basketball court, his leadership on the basketball court, you know, some would say it's not even a question, greatest point guard to ever do it, top two, top five, wherever you want to put him, as greatest players. Jerry West, as, you know, unbelievable as he was as a player, won just one NBA championship, but the way he was able to transition into an executive and still at age 81 be a part, and this isn't taking away credit, you know, obviously give credit to Steve Ballmer, give credit to Lawrence Frank, Doc Rivers, everybody that, you know, obviously helped put this thing together for the Clippers, but the bottom line is this, Jerry West, there's a line that goes back to Jerry West when it's all said and done, and I think he obviously has a lot to do with what just unfolded. So a lot of layers. I will say this, you know, if you're a Laker fan, the world's not over. I think it just, you know, it was a punch to the gut that it's going to take a little bit of time to absorb. The bottom line is Anthony Davis and LeBron James are Lakers, and in order to compete for an NBA championship, nothing is handed and nothing will be handed to the Lakers if they got a shot this upcoming season.
My take-home message from this, and we only have a minute left, Alan, and I'm just going to leave you with this. With the world falling apart the way it is, to wake up today knowing that as much as this is a business, as much as money is this awful thing and greed and power, Jerry West is 81 years old. He does not need the fame, and he certainly don't need the money, is still passionately doing a job that he loves to do. Kawhi Leonard is taking less money than what the Toronto Raptors took less money, what San Antonio could have paid him. And Kawhi Leonard is walking away from all that money to come to the Clippers. That greed and power and money, which often is the root of all the evil. Today we can celebrate the two men, Jerry West and Kawhi Leonard, are following their hearts. And for me, that's the most beautiful thing. And I leave you with Volare, which means I'm singing and I'm flying, which we're all doing in L.A. today because of this trade. Thanks so much, and listen to Alan Sliwa coming up next.